This may seem like old news to some of you, but it is new news to me. The Assassin's book for Trinity Continuum is out now in finalized PDF and in print on demand format. I ordered both immediately upon hearing the news that it was out. I've been waiting for this for a long time, and I am now trying patiently to wait until that physical book gets to my hand before I read some of this stuff. I haven't exactly been winning that war. I have been delving into some of the stuff in the PDF, but I'm trying to hold off until it gets here. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Trinity Continuum Airwaves. My name is Corey Reynolds. I am your host, and this is a podcast all about the Trinity Continuum. And yeah, Assassins, this thing looks amazing. You know, when I saw the cover for it, that it looked just like all of the other sort of main expansions, eras, whatever you want to call them, for Trinity Continuum, I thought, wow, this is a really interesting product. You know, it's one of the first kind of experiments that Onyx Path did with releasing a book through Drive-Thru RPG that was not completely finished, almost like it was like a backer PDF from a Kickstarter or something like that. But instead of going all the way through the Kickstart process, they raised money by selling the PDF through Drive-Thru RPG. And then when it's finally done, you get the final. And if you if you paid for the PDF while it was still in its sort of preview state, you get a print-on-demand coupon to essentially get that print-on-demand at cost. So essentially it comes down to where if you bought the PDF first and now want to order the print-on-demand, it costs you the same as it would me ordering the PDF and print-on-demand copy at the same time. So very, very cool system that they're doing with that. I like where that's headed. I will say that I am slightly disappointed that I won't be able to get a copy of Assassins in a traditionally printed form with the kind of the matte finish and the gloss finish and the raised letters like all of the other ones. That is a little bit sad in my heart, but at the same time, I am happy that we have it, and I think that this is a cool way of doing things. If we could just ever get it to where print-on-demand was the same quality as the traditionally printed, I mean, of course, that's what, utopia, heaven, something like that? I don't know. But anyway, the book looks amazing. I've been flipping through, looking at some of the stuff that's being added to the game with this Assassin's idea, including the three different worlds of Daylight, Twilight, and Shadow, all the new societies that are introduced, so many different societies, and along with that, so many different society paths, new role paths, new origin paths that are being introduced here, and just a boatload of new edges, new skill tricks, new weapon tags. I think I might be most excited about all the new weapon tags, new armor tags, new vehicle tags, all kinds of new rules too, including things that are specifically for assassins, like their master system. You have a whole section on how to storytell this and how to kind of play the game slightly different with dramatic editing and everything else, just because it's an Assassin's game. This thing is fat. I mean, this is a really, really involved new product. I am so excited that this is the level of quality and writing that they're putting into a product, even like this, that was not done through Kickstarter or Indiegogo or something like that. So a super neat thing. I hope you all go out and get a copy of it immediately. I want to be playing in some of these games. Man, you know, the thing with Trinity is like, I want to play all of them. I want to play in an Aberrant game. I want to play in an Eon game. I want to play in an Aether game. I want to play in an Anima. I think Anima, I might want to play in more than any of the others. Adventure, I want to play Adventure. I want to play Assassins. Like, there's so many choices. It's like, what kind of cool thing do you do first? It's very difficult to try to sort through that. At least with a game like Exalted, which I'm used to, you know, if you really like Lunars and the rest of the party's playing Solars, you can ask your storyteller to let you squeeze in as a Lunar into the party, you know. But with Aether, I mean, yeah, some of it's kind of building blocky. You can add a little bit from here and take from there, including this week they introduced a new thing called the Phoebe Trust, or actually it wasn't this week, I guess it was last week, a couple weeks ago. They introduced this this tasty bit, story path tasty bit on the Phoebe Trust, which allows you to play Scion characters in Trinity Core, which is Very, very cool. There, I mean, that kind of stuff, I think we're going to see lots more of that, being able to mix and match a little bit here and there. It's absolutely doable. It's just, you know, every time you decide to mix and match, you forego the purity of being able to play just a pure game in a certain era. So it adds more choices rather than cutting down your number of choices, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But anyway, I mean, there have been a lot of things that have been released or announced release for Trinity here lately that I haven't even really talked about on the podcast. We have got, as I said, that Phoebe Trust that we just had released not too long ago. We've also had this Mission Statements Advanced PDF, which is the same kind of thing that they did with Assassins. They're doing it with this new book called Mission Statements, where you can kind of buy in early to the PDF, and then when it finally goes for sale, print on demand, you'll get a coupon to get some money off of that. But that's another big book. It's almost the same size. It looks to be exactly the same size as the Assassin's book in the 180 page range. And that one is all about different organizations and groups that you can be involved in. Seems very interesting, fleshing out the world a lot more for Eon. I believe that one is fleshing out all of the Eon organizations. But then also we've had all these books announced that are on the monthly whatever roundup list, and also they come out on the Monday meeting notes sometimes. We'll see movements for some of these books, and I have no idea what they are, and I even went around looking on the internet trying to figure out if anybody knew what they are, and actually it seems like not a lot of people know what these books are. We've got Aberrant from the Shadows coming out fairly soon. It's fairly far along. I didn't even grab all the ones that were in the earlier stages of development, but Aberrant from the Shadows, whatever that is, Aberrant, Hated and Feared, people are suggesting that it has to do something with the more outsiders, the Taratan, and things like that, you know, more of the kind of the bad boys of the setting. Aberrant with Great Power, maybe that's the good boys of the setting that goes along with Hated and Feared, or some have suggested maybe it's just the player's guide for Aberrant, which that would be very cool. Also, Aberrant Proteus Nova Compendium. I feel like that's just a big collection of characters for use in your game, but that's going to be a really cool one too. I mean, they're pumping stuff out. It's almost like it's like 1990 and this is a for real role-playing company. I love it. It's great. They have the Talents Player's Guide that's coming down the pipe. That one for the core, I can't wait. That I'm just dreaming about what possibly could be in that book, and I hope it's a big one because I do feel like the core needs some TLC. I feel like there are things that definitely need to be added here, because as I was making all of my sample characters for this adventure that I'm writing for the Trinity Continuum Core, and I've constructed all of the sample characters now. I have rerun my prompts for them back through Midjourney, the AI art program, text to art AI that I use to create the illustrations for the book that I'm working on. I had run all of my sample characters through there 3 weeks ago or so and came out with some pretty good images of each of the four sample characters. And I was like, you know, Midjourney's had a lot of development since then. We have these new betas and test sort of models that are being used in there. So I was like, well, let me try running my sample characters back through with the new photo test thing. And boom! I mean, these characters came alive with the new --TestP. If you're a Midjourney person, you already know about --TestP. But I ran them through TestP, and they are looking better than ever. My sample characters are in the straight professional zone right now, so I can't wait to unleash those. But as I was making those characters, of course, I mentioned before that as you're doing that, the character creation rules are kind of spread out in some weird ways throughout the book. It could definitely be cleaned up. And I was even suggesting that maybe if they do a Story Path Ultra update for Trinity Continuum, that they could redo the core book and give a lot of new info on how to make characters and just kind of straighten out some of the things that were left a little bit messy in the Trinity Continuum core book when it was first published. But I really hope that one of the areas that they work on is the area of super science, and specifically artifacts. Because as I was making these sample characters, I thought to myself, you know what? I actually had started watching Spriggan. Now, we had a caller call into the show a few weeks ago and mentioned the fact that on Netflix there is this anime called Spriggan, which is very Trinity Continuum-esque. And I was like, man, I really want to see that, but I have a feud with Netflix. Well, I had to break my feud this past weekend because I very, very much wanted to see the movie RRR, and I did see it, and it was like the greatest movie ever. I had so much fun with that movie. Our whole family, except my wife, she was like, I ain't watching that stuff. But anyway, like all the rest of me and my six kids, we watched it, and I had a smile on my face and a tear in my eye the entire 3-hour runtime of that movie. It was pure delight. But anyway, I subscribed to Netflix for a month so that I could watch this one movie. And while I was there, I was like, hey, I remember somebody suggested to me that I should watch Spriggan because it's very Trinity Continuum. And so I did. It is awesome. Very much enjoy the show. But one of the things that it kind of impressed to me was, you know, this character, the main character of Spriggan, he's got this cool, super science, high-tech gear that he uses to, you know, fight the enemies, fight crime. Well, not crime, but, you know, he's trying to get and lock down these artifacts so that they don't destroy the world or whatever. Very much like the Polyphemus organization that they released in A Tasty Bit for Trinity Continuum not too far back. Kind of like a Warehouse 13, but way more high-tech, way more like sci-fi. But anyway, so I'm watching this and I'm thinking, you know what would be cool? As I was making all these four sample characters, I looked at the powered edges every time. I didn't like really any of them. Artifact was the only one that seemed interesting just because, you know, in other games, other White Wolf Onyx Path games that I play, artifact is one of those things that's almost a given. You always take it, especially in Exalted. You definitely take the artifact merit like every single time you play Exalted. So I keep looking at artifact. And I'm like, no, I don't want it. But then when I watched Spriggan, I was like, no, I need to give an artifact to one of these sample characters. So maybe what I'll do is I'll sit down and design a brand new artifact and put that in with the character so that, you know, if you get the adventure, not only do you have a cool adventure, not only do you have four new pre-made characters that you can use anytime you got people that want to play a Trinity game with you, you can just plunk one of those characters down, but also you got a new cool artifact that you can mess around with. So I went to work designing a new artifact, and this is something that I am not a newbie at. I have designed a lot of artifacts for a lot of these storyteller games, right? This would be my first time doing one in the story path system, but still, I've done this a lot before. I feel like I'm pretty good at this, right? So I'm looking at this stuff, and there are a lot of issues with the way artifact design is handled in the Trinity Continuum core. And so here are some of the problems that I see with it that I would hope in a Trinity Continuum Story Path Ultra Edition revamp. You know, you don't need to revamp everything when you revamp Trinity with Ultra. You would not have to rewrite all of your core books. You would not have to redesign all of your antagonists. All you really need to do is just simply clarify things. I feel like when Trinity Continuum Core was written, it was at the nascent era of Story Path, and things have just developed so much since then. People have gotten a hang of this thing. We've gotten clarity. And so just going back and making things clear would be really good. So here are the problems I found with artifact creation as I, an old hat at this, tried to do it. First of all, there is a clumsy use of keywords throughout the whole process. Artifact, when you're looking at the artifact powered edge, it uses the term dots. It says each dot you put into this, you get that number of dots as you're building your super science device or whatever. But when you go to the super science section and look at how you build an invention, how you create one of these things, it doesn't use the word dots, it uses the word ranks. And so you're left asking the question, are dots the same thing as ranks? And you can kind of assume, yes, I guess that's what they're getting at there. But then as you're reading through the chart and the different instructions on how to build a super science device, an inspired device, it keeps using the word dots for how many dots of edges you get to apply to the thing. So the words dots and ranks are really kind of mixed up. It creates confusion. Maybe you could see your way past that by just saying, well, yeah, we're assuming that when it says dots in the thing, it means ranks. But still, it's confusing. It doesn't need to be confusing. That should have been easily handled. That's something that could definitely be fixed. Also, there are some very unclear mechanics in the whole thing. The artifacts section in the Super Science chapter, which is just like a paragraph long, it speaks of edge and gift dots. Everything's referring you back to a certain table on page 91. And it says, you know, you can use this many edge and gift dots. But the table on page 91 only lists the number of edge dots that you can use, and it says absolutely nothing about gifts. And to make matters worse, gifts aren't even rated in dots. And because of that, there is certainly confusion about exactly how many gifts you can include. I mean, when you look at the different gifts that require more dots in an ability or skill seem to be more powerful than those that only require a couple dots or that require no dots at all, because there are many gifts that require nothing. And so does a gift that would require 5 dots in an attribute or 4 dots in an attribute, is that equivalent to a gift that requires nothing? It would seem that they are not equal. And so, the edge dots, if you just replace it with gift dots, what it means is the prerequisite for that gift, look at how many dots that is. But then you run into the problem of the gifts that don't have a prerequisite. They don't require any dots. So what, do you just get an infinite number of those? Do you treat it as a one? Well, is it weaker than one that actually does require one? You know, this is the thing. This is the kind of thing where I say it's wonky. The mechanics are unclear. And because of that, it's very hard to create a device using the rules when you don't have clarity on exactly how much you're supposed to give to these various things. So also, you know, artifacts, it talks about artifacts being advanced and inspired and powered. They're sort of like 3 tiers. And advanced artifacts or advanced tech, it has a +1 scale bonus over normal tech. Inspired tech has a 2 scale bonus over normal tech, and then powered has a 3 scale bonus over normal tech. So it's just a 1, 2, 3. It's fairly simple. But at the same time, so when you're looking at scale, when it comes to dramatic scale, the extra scale that you have is converted into enhancement. If the scale of the thing that you are using is too higher than a normal person or your opponent or whatever, then you essentially get a +2 enhancement for each level of scale above your opponent. So you would have 4 enhancement for using something that has a scale too higher. So that's fairly simple, right? But then the problem is that in the table where it's talking about the various devices and the ranks that you can build, it has a maximum enhancement column. And my question is, because you know, as you're developing something, let's say you're building a special cool sci-fi gun and you want it to be inspired level tech, but just on the basis of it just being this super high quality sci-fi gun, you would expect it to get some enhancement more than a pawn shop revolver, you know? So does the enhancement cap that's in the table on page 91, is that just capping the enhancement that you're applying to the device? I'm using a weapon as an example just because it's easy. Is it capping the level of enhancement you can have on that weapon to, let's say, 3? But then if the weapon is an inspired level tech, does it also get +4 enhancement for being 2 scale higher than normal folks? If you put those together, let's say you had a 3 enhancement and it has +2 scale, are you getting +7 enhancement? Or is the enhancement level cap also including the enhancement bonus you would get from the scale being higher? This is where it's very unclear. I, as a player and as a longtime game master, dungeon master, storyteller, story guy, whatever you want to call it, I mean, I've played games for my entire life, right? 35 years I've been playing role-playing games. I'm having a hard time figuring out exactly what the designers intended for us to do here. And also, I think, you know, this is a smaller gripe with the system, but it definitely bears mentioning, is the fact that there just doesn't seem to be that much utility for these super science devices in the Trinity Continuum core. Now, it makes a whole lot of sense when you come to super science devices in Aberrant, because you have the whole power structure of the Aberrant game to be able to apply to super science devices. So maybe you can't shoot a laser beam out of your eyes like Cyclops can, but you want to use that same power in a rifle. So you create this cool laser rifle. That makes a lot of sense. Or, you know, being able to shrink somebody. We have a power to do that. You can turn that into then also a shrink gun or a shrink cannon or even a shrink elixir. You know, you can do all kinds of things with those powers. But when it comes to the Trinity Continuum core, all you really have to go on are the edges and gifts. And as I was just looking through there trying to come up with a cool device that I could build for one of the characters, one of my characters is a mechanic, and she has a cool wrench. She uses the wrench to fight with. She also has the misfix-it edge and all this other kind of stuff. And so I was thinking, oh, maybe I could do something for her, like give her a cool wrench. And it was like the sorts of things that I could apply to the wrench were things that I had already built into the character. And there really wasn't a real benefit for taking those things off of the character and putting it into a device. Because the number of dots you'd have to spend on the artifact to get it, first of all, would take up most of the dots that you would gain by putting everything into just one device. And also, it by tying everything like that to, like, let's say, a wrench, you keep her from being able to use those abilities when she is without the wrench. And so, anyway, I'm looking here going, man, you know what we need? We need a list of cool high-tech powers, essentially. We need like a lesser list of the aberrant power list, something that's like lower tech that would be appropriate to a Trinity Continuum core game that we can use to create these super science things. Because the edges and gifts by themselves, they just aren't enough. There's not enough incentive to build a device rather than have, or at least not a character creation. Maybe you could make the argument of, oh, well, you know, I've already made the character. The character does not have those abilities. I would like the character to have those abilities. And looking at the experience cost to be able to get all of those new edges and all of those new gifts and whatnot would cost me so much. But if I could just build a device that does it, then all of a sudden I save a whole lot of experience points. So maybe that is the main thinking behind this, but I still think that if you have an artifact powered edge that gives you outright at character creation one of these cool devices, then you need to be able to make a really cool device. And I just don't see it there. I was racking my brain trying to find it. I don't see it. I think the most compelling example that they give in the Super Science chapter is the freeze ray, but even then, you look at the kinds of edges and things that they've built into the freeze ray, and it's not really a freeze ray. They're using the trick shot thing to kind of give it the ability to do some interesting things. You're using your imagination to use trick shot to trip people or whatever and just saying that it's ice, but it's really no different from somebody who has the trick shot edge who then use like a regular Glock or something to do it. It's really just in your mind. Sorry. So anyway, I think that this system could use a big overhaul. I think it's fine. In Aberrant, it's perfect. Needs no changes. But it would be too powerful to just straight up import the Aberrant rules back into Trinity Continuum Core. We need something sort of in between. So maybe the Talents Guide can give us some insights there. Or maybe there's another idea for the core team to have a whole book on super science and just really blow open the doors. Because I really feel like cool high-tech gadgets are a staple of this thing, you know, the staple of the series. It's the Q workshop from the James Bond movies. You want to be able to have some of these cool things. Maybe I'm just not looking at it with the right eyes. Maybe I'm not seeing how easy it would be to do some of these things. Like I just said, the Q workshop. Well, can I create a watch or something that is, you know, shoots out a grappling hook and then can explode when you push a button? Maybe I could create that in the system, and I'm just not I'm not setting my sights low enough to think of a cool device like that. I'm trying to think too big because I've read the Aberrant book. That's highly possible. But it would still be very cool to have a book that gives a whole lot of cool ideas and a whole lot of new weapon tags that are just usable with super science and invention and the artifact edge that would really flesh this whole thing out. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. I would buy it day one. I'd buy two of them. Hear that, guys? Anyway, so what do you think about artifacts? Have you tried to build one for your characters? What have you done with super science in your game? Walk me through this. Am I thinking about it too hard? What have I gotten wrong here? I would love to hear from you. Our call-in number, 678-369-3214. Give us a call. I want to hear your opinions. I want to put you on the show. Or send us an email to trinitycontinuumairwaves@gmail.com. I will read it. We will talk about it. So anyway, let us know. Thank you for listening to the show. That's going to wrap it up for this one. I'm still reading through the Eon book. I've gotten into the various Psi orders. I got to say, the Aesculapian order, I don't know how to pronounce that, was a lot cooler than I expected it to be. I was thinking it was like, you know, rescue rangers or whatever, and why that would be boring. EMTs, you know, come on. I don't want to play EMTs, but as I read the thing, I'm like, wow, I actually really, really like this. I can totally imagine playing a game as Rescue Ranger. So this would be really cool. But anyway, I'm enjoying the Eon book right now. I'll have more to say about that as we go forward. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. As always, I can't wait to see you all in the next one.